Just so you know, it's not your typical bar. They specialize in molecular mixology. It's kind of like an experimental new way to consume alcohol.
Son, there's no wrong way to consume alcohol.
And here's your Nimbus Martini. May I go ahead and chisel your aromasphere?
Please!
This is the wrong way to consume alcohol.
Whoa, that's a pretty stiff cloud.
Pour to the scotch?
Right here.
Hold out your hands, please.
What's happening?
Oh, this is a sort of play on scotch. It's a whiskey-infused lotion.
Can I ask if this entire establishment is a practical joke of some kind?
If you don't like the scotch, they have a vodka that's served in the form of a flash of light.
This is Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. Maybe you've heard of molecular gastronomy, sophisticated and chemically creative new ways of preparing food for gourmet tastes. But now molecular mixology is sweeping the finer bars and clubs and homes around the nation. May not be quite as outlandish as in the clip you just heard from Parks and Recreation, but on the other hand, when's the last time making your favorite drink involved cryovacking or nitro muddling or rotary evaporation? Joining us by phone today to talk about what all this means is Arielle Johnson. She's a doctoral candidate at UC Davis and flavor chemist. Welcome to you, Arielle.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Also, to help us figure out how to do it at home is Kevin Liu. He's the author of Craft Cocktails at Home. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning to you. We'll get to them in a moment, but here in the studio is Scott Tipton. He's the general manager at Kill Devil Club and the Power and Light District, which is regularly making lists these days, we might add, as one of the top bars in America. Congratulations and welcome to you, Scott.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Scott has actually brought along some equipment, which he will be showing us how to use. He'll be mixing some drinks, too, to be sampled with absolute objectivity and journalistic integrity by the KCUR Central Standard staff here in our studio. Scott, what are you working on first?
We're going to start off with kind of an idea of basically a quick nitro infusion that's really easy to do at home.
Okay.
We're taking something that most people are used to or have seen around a coffee shop maybe called the French press.
Yes.
And we're going to make a cocktail using it.
Wow. Okay.
So what we started off with, added in the bottom of it, is a whole bunch of herbs. A lot of them are very common. We've got nutmeg, allspice, cinnamon.
So things you probably have in your spice cabinet.
Yeah, ideally. I mean, you can honestly just open up your spice cabinet and start throwing some stuff in.
Okay.
I peeled off a piece of orange and threw it in there. There's fresh clove, some peppercorns, and an orange peel.
And so you've just put it in, and that's just a regular French press.
It is, yeah, just a basic one you can get for probably $15, $20, Pyrex.
All right, then what?
So we're going to start that, and then the idea I had was basically to take a really classic rum drink. We do a lot of rum at Kill Devil, which actually means rum. So the idea was to take a daiquiri, the old school non-frozen variety that's, you know, fresh lime juice, simple syrup, and a white rum, mix it up, and then put it into this French press, let it steep for about 3 to 4 minutes, add all those herbs and spices and different things to kind of just give it a couple more layers, and then pour it off and drink it. So it's something that we can do cold this way, and then in the colder months we can do a hotter, warm version.
Oh, okay. How long do you leave it steeping?
I think, about 3 to 4 minutes. That way it'll keep the integrity of the coldness, the chillness.
Great. Well, and as it happens, we'll still be on the air in 3 or 4 minutes. So
perfect.
That's good news. Let me ask you, Arielle, what exactly is molecular mixology?
Well, molecular mixology, I think, as people use that term, is thinking about cocktails on a perceptual level and using knowledge of the molecules that are responsible for flavor, both volatile and non-volatile, to improve cocktail making.
So is it art or is it science?
Well, I think there are aspects of both art, craft, and science to it.
So let's talk about the science part. And I know that you're a doctoral candidate. You're a chemist. I mean, what is going on chemically speaking with some of these methods?
Well, some of these methods, for example, rapid extraction with nitrous oxide, as you'd get in a whipped creamer, are about trying to look at ways to speed up extractive processes. So if you want some tasty volatiles from, say, mint to get into your drink faster, you can use pressurized gas to do that. On the other hand, some people use laboratory equipment such as a rotary evaporator, which essentially distills under a vacuum. And what this does is it allows you to capture the volatiles responsible for aroma and flavor without heating them up.
Okay, so you used a term rotary evaporator. What in the world is that?
it's a piece of pretty common organic chemistry and analytical chemistry lab equipment.
So if I had studied science, I would actually know the answer to this question. Other people are laughing at me in the room. But for the rest of us, tell us what a rotary evaporator is.
this is a originally its use in laboratories was to evaporate organic solvents off of reaction mixtures. But you can also use it to very gently distill and capture the volatiles, the aroma molecules responsible for flavor, and without having any sort of heating type reactions.
I see. So, Kevin, you've written a whole book about doing this and about doing this at home. I guess I wonder, was there something wrong with just pouring things together and mixing them with a spoon?
There's absolutely nothing wrong. But, you know, like I say, everyone has to have a hobby, and this happens to be mine.
Okay. Even apart from the more unusual ways of preparing drinks, what do you think is the most important thing about making a cocktail?
I think the most important thing that some people don't realize about food in general, and especially with cocktails, is that I'd say 90% of what you're actually experiencing as flavor comes from your nose, not from your tongue. So, for example, one of the things I advocate that you can do at home is if you do that same technique that Scott's doing in the studio right now, and instead of infusing it in a French press, you actually infuse those spices and herbs, a strong vodka, and put it into an atomizer, which is what you use to spray perfume, and spray that over the top of a cocktail. It actually completely changes the flavor profile.
So you sometimes see that with, like, vermouth on the top of a martini, right?
My martinis a little bit more vermouth. That's a whole different topic.
Okay.
But yes, that is one technique.
But so you're suggesting that people need to pay more attention to the smell, and that's one way your home cocktails can go a long way.
Yeah, that's just one simple way.
How do these sort of more interesting techniques really improve the drinkability of a cocktail besides changing the smell?
I mean, well, you brought up vermouth, and that's one thing that's very simple that people don't realize. Vermouth is a fortified wine. It has spices in it that will keep it fresher for longer than normal wines, but vermouth oxidizes, and oxidation has very little to do with the spices that are in the wine and a lot more to do with the headspace that's actually in the bottle. So I did a lot of research on the book, and some of the stuff I read is actually about the preservation of wine, what happens to the wine in the barrel and the bottle, and I found out that a lot of the reason that people don't like vermouth in their martinis is because they're using vermouth that's gone bad, not because vermouth itself is bad.
All right, so Scott Tipton of Kill Devil Club has just extracted from the French press some rum. Tell us what we're tasting again here, Scott, and what should we be noticing that's different than if we had just ordered a rum with some spices in it?
Right. So we took the French press with everything steeping in there, and if you're used to a French press where the coffee's in the bottom, and then at the end it has this kind of, you know, built-in filter, we're pressing everything down to, you know, basically quickly, flashily infuse the rum with all those herbs we talked about, the allspice and the cinnamon and the nutmeg and the clove. So, you know, you think of a daiquiri that's really light, and all of a sudden it's got all these herbs and just different layers. You know, it's going to go from refreshing to complex, and hopefully be both.
Okay, so the crack intern team, the dynamos of Claire McInerney and Ross Steinmetz, have now joined us on the air here on KCUR to offer their feedback from a strictly sophisticated journalistic objective opinion. Ross Steinmetz, what are your thoughts?
Well, you can definitely still tell it's rum. But yeah, you can definitely taste all those spices in there. It actually, like Scott said, it took a bit of a second for it to hit me, and then all of a sudden it's just this spicy wave.
Yeah, there you go. Claire McInerney?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have the bitterness of a strong liquor at the end because of the herbs. And I mean, for 10 a.m., this is pretty great.
Yes, this is earlier in the morning than generally our interns start drinking. They usually wait till after lunch. Kevin, is there something that is this one of those things that's becoming much easier to do these days with newer technologies?
Yeah, what actually, in my book, I avoided using anything that wouldn't be very easy to get at home or, you know, to the click of a button for less than $20 online, because once you understand a little of the science, you can do a lot more with just ingredients you have at home. I mean, some of the stuff that I call molecular or science-based is just calling for using strawberry preserves to modify mouthfeel. It's all there.
And now you, on the other hand, Ariel, you're working in a laboratory. You're doing some things that none of us are probably going to be able to do at home, right?
Not unless you have a gas chromatograph mass spectrometer in your home, in which case I'm very jealous of you.
Well, who doesn't, right? What do you do with a gas chromatographer mass spectrometer anyway?
That's an analytical instrument we use in our lab to sample, separate, and analyze the different volatiles in various foods and beverages.
And how is that improving the outcome in terms of the quality of cocktails?
Well, I think a lot of the outcomes are a little further down the line, but the way I came to cocktails and analytical chemistry is I was thinking about cocktail bitters, which are a alcoholic infusion of different herbs and spices and bittering ingredients. And I wanted to look up one day what was in Angostura bitters chemically, and no one had ever analyzed them. So
really?
Yeah, not that I know of, or not that I was able to find on the internet or any of the scientific paper repositories I subscribe to. So I decided that it would be great for both scientists and bartenders and home practitioners to be able to know molecularly what's going on in this ingredient.
Okay, so Scott, you are about to do something very dramatic, it looks like. Tell us what you're working on next.
Well, speaking of bitters, I actually took an EC machine, which is spelled ISI. You see them a lot of times with pastry chefs. They're making whipped creams out of these machines. And it's a popular thing right now with cocktails to do. There's actually a lot of different things you can do with the machine. You can do, again, the flash infusion. So you could take, for example, like jalapenos, slice them up, throw them in with tequila, charge it with the little CO2 canister, and let it, you know, let the gases steep out. And then you've got a tequila infused with jalapeno. We're going to make a foam here in studio. So okay. I took some orange bitters and some ginger syrup and an egg white, threw them in this easy machine. And the idea I had here today was, again, to work with rum and do a classic drink called the Dark and Stormy, which is usually a Gosling's Black Seal dark rum with ginger beer. But we're going to forego the ginger beer and make a ginger foam.
Okay.
So we'll top it off with that.
So is it just a matter of adding the carbonization essentially to it? Is that really all that's happening, or is there something else changing about the stuff?
It is.
In there?
I mean, you know, when you get into the whole molecular thing, it is, you know, one of the ideas is to change the form of the liquid. So in this one, yeah, it's, you know, it's charging and it's doing all these things that I probably couldn't explain the best. I'm not a scientist. Fortunately, we have those on the line.
Yes.
But so, you know, we're creating this into a foam, which will give it a different texture than it would otherwise.
All right. So, are we gonna hear anything? As
you will. Yeah, we're loading up the charger here, and we're going to do it a couple times to make sure we really get it.
All right. Here we go.
So that's it.
That's it.
That's the little sound, and then we'll let that swirl for a minute.
All right. Well, while that's fizzing up, Kevin, you've written a lot about sort of making drinks fizzier. What is so important about that for making drinks taste better?
Well, for carbonation, if we're talking about carbonation, you can use the EC or the ISI for both carbonation and with the nitrous oxide. The carbonation side of it is really a mouthfeel thing. It turns out that Americans just kind of like that tingly feeling that they get from carbonic acid, which is what develops when you carbonate something. Whereas nitrous oxide,
which is laughing gas, right?
I'm not sure.
I think so. Okay.
Yeah,
so
go. Yeah, it is laughing gas.
All right. Well, so maybe that's okay. Why we enjoy it so much. Okay. Go on.
Perhaps. That actually comes out of solution very quickly, so it's really just a texture thing. So it creates really tiny bubbles, and that gives you a really nice smooth foam because the size of the particles corresponds to the creaminess on your tongue, if you will, and that's what gives you that really nice foam. What Scott's doing right now is he's creating a three-phase emulsion, I think. Gary, I'll correct me if I'm wrong, between egg whites, liquid oil, or liquid ethanol, and air, basically. And the egg white is serving as the emulsifier. A neat trick that I found is actually a lot of light beers in America have foaming agents. So if you charge a can of Pabst Blue Ribbon in one of those machines and flip it upside down, you get a really basically like a Guinness foam head that tastes like Pabst.
Wow. So good tricks with PBR is what you're learning today on KCUR Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. We're talking with Kevin Liu, the author of Craft Cocktails at Home, also with Ariel Johnson. She's a flavor chemist and a doctoral candidate at UC Davis. Also with Scott Tipton of the Kill Devil Club. And Scott, you're about to pour this drink now. What are you working on now?
So what I did is I took the basic dark and stormy ingredient, the Gosling's Black Seal Rum, threw a little bit of Velvet Falernum, which is kind of a syrupy Caribbean concoction that's made from a white rum with lime juice, sugar, almond, and clove, and a little bit of orange bitters just to kind of add a different dynamic to the drink. So we shook that up, chilled it, put it into a glass, and now we're going to top it all off with that ginger foam that we talked about.
All right, here we go. Spraying it. And it looks just like whipped cream coming out of there.
Perfect. Yeah, it worked out great.
Just the way you were hoping.
Topped off, yeah, with the foam. And then the bottom half, so it's kind of layered. So the bottom half is the dark and stormy drink, and the top half is the actual ginger syrup foam.
If you've tried your hand at creating cocktails in creative, newfangled ways, we'd love to hear from you. What principles of chemistry or physics have had a part at your home bar? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. So, Kevin and Ariel, I'm wondering, is there a holy grail of molecular mixology? Is there something that everyone's trying to figure out how to do but hasn't figured out yet?
I have an opinion on this. I'll let Ariel go first.
Oh. I'm not sure if there's in my experience, a cocktail that everyone's trying to make so much as trying to understand exactly how balances between acidity and sweetness work, ways of using things like delicate herbs without getting swampy flavors.
So it's not doing entirely new things. It's improving the things that you already do and trying to make drinks.
Yeah, basically using an understanding of science to try to finesse drinks into a
sure. Well, in fact, Kevin, I will come back to you, but Ariel, I know that you've focused a lot on sort of even the very basic ingredients in drinks and making those better. So, for example, I know how I would make lime juice. I would squeeze a lime. How do you make lime juice?
Well, if I'm trying to carbonate lime juice, for example, I would add an enzyme to it called pectinase. And what this does is it basically breaks down one of the carbohydrate-based structural molecules in lime juice, and what you would see happening was basically the lime juice would clarify. And what this means is that the viscosity goes down and there's fewer particles suspended, and you can get a nice fizzy drink with your lime juice, much fizzier than you could get without clarifying it. If you wanted to take an extra step and had access to a centrifuge, which is another piece of lab equipment that separates liquids based on density by spinning them in a rotor very, very, very fast, essentially separate out the solids from the liquid and get like a crystal clear lime juice.
Wow. And can you imagine a day, Ariel, where, you know, every bar has a rotor behind it so that lime juice can be drunk more purely?
I would love to see that day. That
would
be pretty exciting.
We'll all keep waiting. Kevin, you had a theory, you said, on the Holy Grail, the not yet attained perfect thing for drinks.
So this is my opinion and not the opinion of most bartenders, if you will, but I think a lot of bartenders have been looking at the history and looking at classic cocktails, and that's great and it's fantastic. We need to build from the history. I think the next step, if you want to really look at like complexity and something that really takes flavor and its potential to the next level, look at fine perfumes. And I know it sounds crazy, but go smell a bottle of Angostura and you'll get cinnamon and clove and nutmeg and all these different flavors, and it's, you know, like I said, it's a really important flavor component. Is aroma, but then go smell something like Chanel No. 5, and then, I mean, it'll just completely blow your mind the number of things that are going on in there and what those chemists are doing behind the scenes to create products like that.
Okay, so Scott, what was this that we were just sampling?
It's a dark and stormy with the ginger foam,
right,
that you can see on top there.
Let's check with Claire and Ross. Claire, what do you think?
That's amazing. It tastes like a Werther's caramel with like ginger on the top. It tastes really good. Yeah,
that's great. Ross?
Yeah, it's sweet, and it's easily one of the smoothest cocktails I've had.
Well, very good. 816-235-2888 is the number to call. Let's talk to Matt in Baldwin City. Matt, welcome to Central Standard.
Well, hi. This is a really a delightful conversation going on, and I love
even more so in the studio, Matt. I just want
yeah,
you
I bet
to
it is. Yeah. I bet it is. I bet it is. Well, I love the descriptors dark and stormy because it almost has a literary reference.
Oh, there you go.
Well, but I was hoping to elicit more of a detailed explanation as to how the rotary evaporation process works. My understanding is that as you lower atmospheric pressure, fluids boil at a lower and lower temperature. And if anyone who's boiled water, you know, like up in the mountains at 14,000 feet, knows that it boils at a lower temperature. Mm. And, you know, literally that the pressure of the atmosphere is holding water together. And
sure.
I assume this is going on inside of the device that the guest was talking about.
Good question, Matt. Is that what's going on, Ariel? Are these different ways of evaporating by adding pressure, is that what's changing the flavor and maybe even the texture of the drink?
Yeah, in rotary evaporated beverages, basically there's two ways you can get things to become gases. You can either heat them up or you can reduce the pressure. So whereas a typical distillation in a still would involve heating up a liquid to evaporate it and collect it, in a rotary evaporator, you take the opposite process and reduce the pressure. And this allows you to gently evaporate the volatiles responsible for flavor and concentrate and collect them and then use them without having cooked flavors.
Scott, you, of course, work at Kill Devil Club. Before that, you were at Arbar. May it rest in peace. And Graham and Dunn as well. Where else in town, if you don't mind plugging a competitor or two, where else in town could folks find this kind of creative work on cocktails?
You definitely want to check out Manifesto, which is in the ground floor of the Rieger, a great restaurant down on Main Street.
1924 Main.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Extra Virgin, directly across the street from there, is doing some great things also. A lot of talent there. You can go up the street also right across from us to Providence, the Drum Room, a new spot that's been there for a while but has a kind of a revamped bar program.
Scott, do you feel like molecular mixology is a boon to bars? Do you feel like this is actually good for business, or is this just incidental to what you're doing?
I think it is. I mean, at the end of the day, the real focus is having fun. You know, it's drinking and it should be fun. And if we take ourselves too seriously, at some point, you know, we turn off the common customer who wants to come in, who wants to get a drink that's tasty, that they might not understand all this, you know, complicated stuff. But if we can present to them in a cool way and that's basic and simple, then they're going to appreciate it as well.
Kevin Liu, 10 seconds. What's your favorite cocktail to make at home?
Negroni. Simple and almost always comes out perfect.
What do you do in 5 seconds?
Gin, Campari, sweet vermouth, equal proportions.
Very good. That's excellent. That's the best kind of recipe. I want to thank Kevin Liu. He's the author of Craft Cocktails at Home, as well as Ariel Johnson. She's a flavor chemist and a doctoral candidate. Scott Tipton is the general manager at Kill Devil Club here in Kansas City. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
And thanks to Scott, especially for making us drinks. Thanks also to Claire McInerney and Ross Steinmetz, who are part of the Central Standard team and have provided such helpful analysis in today's program. You can subscribe to our podcast and hear this conversation again. You can access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page at kcur.org. Tune in tomorrow. We will not be here ourselves, but we'll be bringing you some special KCUR programming in honor of Independence Day. You can stay tuned now to continue this conversation. Up to Date is up next with a non-traditional look at food for the 4th. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Claire McInerney and Ross Steinmetz. I'm Brian Ellison. This is KCUR.